Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastoma Vidyavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 30, chapter 2, Maharasnimi meets the Navayogendras. Verses 44 to 55, Maharasnimi's second question answered by Javier. Maharasnimi said, "Now please tell me in great detail about the devotees of the Supreme Lord. What are the natural symptoms by which I can distinguish between the most advanced devotees, those on the middle level, and those who are neophytes? What are the typical religious activities of a Vaishnava, and how does he speak? Specifically, please describe those symptoms and characteristics by which Vaishnavas become dear to the personality of Godhead." Right? Because that's important. It says they have symptoms, but what makes them dear to Krishna? Because that's what you're trying to do, is act in such a way that Krishna is pleased. So that means then you become dear to Krishna. Right? So that becomes a very important aspect. You know, you're seeing who's advanced, who's not, and that, and then... Come on. Can be a better way to go than that, right?
Different option.
Yeah. You know, but, well, it says all the animals and everything in the Dham, they leave their body, they're all liberated, so...
Yes. Hare Krishna.
Yes.
What can we do up here? No? Suppose we feel small. What can we do after?
Depends. Are they alive or dead?
They are dead.
Oh, then there's not much you can do. They're still alive, you can chant.
Yes.
Yes, so now they describe devotional service, and then what are you see those who have come to that transcendental platform that they're so absorbed. So now, how do we actually see what are the natural symptoms? Shri Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur elaborates. The previous verse mentioned the devotees. He asked concerning their qualities. What is their nature? Dharma. This is a question about their mental condition. What types of devotees are there? This is a question about various grades of devotees. What is their conduct? This is a question about their bodily nature. What do they say? This is a question about their speech. Why should one ask such questions? By these characteristics, one can infer who is dear to the Lord, right? So you're seeing, their nature, the mental condition, what is it? Their conduct, bodily nature, what do they say? So body, mind, and words, what do devotees do? How to tell who's more advanced, less advanced, you know, and in the middle of those who, body, mind, and words, are connected to the Lord. And then, what are the characteristics by which one can be and understand who is dear to the Lord? Right? Does that make sense? So they all seem like they're all varieties of questions about devotees, but they're very specific. How does a devotee, you know, body, mind, and words, are they engaged in Krishna's service? You know? And then, what are the symptoms of understanding their pleasing to the Lord and to their advancement? Okay. Note. Yes? Note. Sri Javier's entire answer to this question, verses 45 to 55, has been assigned by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 15, entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Anukulya Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. So all this is then what is favorable for devotional practice. Right? Mm-hmm. Sri Javier said, The most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees systematically everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. So it's not even just the living entities, it's everything he's seeing in connection with the Lord. Footnote 12. He who systematically sees everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything nor any being. Ishopanishad Mantra 6. Right, so these is a standard position that they had. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura writes, one should see the presence of the Lord, who is one's object of worship, in all things. When Hiranyakashipu asked, where is your Lord? Prahlad said, he is everywhere. One can see the Lord even in a pillar or as a pillar. In this way, he saw his worship of the Lord. Similarly, one should see all living beings in the Lord. Right? So he is everything. So he is in all things, and all beings are in the Lord. Right? The object of one's worship, just as Yashoda saw all beings in the belly of Krishna. So you're having both. You're seeing everyone connected to the Lord, and the Lord connected to everything. So you have both of these aspects that are there. Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, for one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Right? So this is the same instruction that he gave to the gopis. Right? So that's the whole point, is that one will always be absorbed in Krishna if you see like this. Then it's just a matter of then how you develop, what kind of attraction you have, what kind of rati, so therefore that kind of prema, those kind of activities by which you're always seeing like this. So this is important because this is how all the qualities of these devotees come up. Because they're always seeing the Lord, that's why they behave in a particular way. And then the less you see the Lord, then that will change how you behave. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not just that the Uttamadhikari has worked really hard to develop particular qualities. No, he's always absorbing himself in Krishna. Because of that, there's certain symptoms. Right? Does that make sense? And then as we go down the neophyte, because they're not absorbed in the Lord, then you'll see more symptoms that are not, you know, the ideal position of the devotee. Right? But as they advance, then you'll see that whatever is not correct goes away and the other things naturally manifest. So you don't have to separately endeavor for them. You have to be making your endeavor to be Krishna conscious. Does that make sense?
So, Maharaj, every moment is basically an application of this, trying to apply this.
Every
moment in our life.
Yes, it means we're always, as sadhakas, we're always trying to apply this. But as these liberated souls, they always are applying this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like that. It means we're practicing, they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But by practicing, that's how we come to that platform where we can do. Because as Krishna then reveals, he makes it possible. Because why don't we remember Krishna? Because the heart has so many impurities. So as the heart becomes purified, then it's natural to remember Krishna. Right? Sri Havir continued, an intermediate or second class devotee called Madhyama Adhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to the ignorant persons who are innocent, and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. BBT Purport states, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, although a second-class devotee is eager to preach to the innocent conditioned souls, he should avoid the atheistic class of men so that he will not become disturbed or polluted by their association.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because the idea is that if you're preaching, then you're always talking to those, you're able to discuss the philosophy properly, and they're moving forward. They may have their doubts, but they're actually, you know, interested to find out actually what's going on. But those who are atheistic, then they just argue, and they'll just ruin the mood. And so then always remembering that, how will that be of any benefit?
Yes.
Right.
in life, we can become affected.
Yes. Affected means they disturbed, polluted by their association. So disturbed, you know, at best is that, you know, their arguments are, you know, are improper and all this, their attitude, so there'll just be a disturbance.
Yes.
And so you could be doing so many other things that are much more positive, right? Mm-hmm. And then polluted, that you might, one might get distracted by them, or, you know, just lose enthusiasm or something, and so it'll take time. So the whole point is, why talk to them for however long you talk if it's going to have an effect after that? You know? Like that. So better to avoid. Because there's so many people on the planet, it's not that... Does that make sense? You know, it's like the medical... the medics on the battlefield. Right? There's limited time, there's limited facility. So they will treat those who there's actually a chance to save.
Yes.
Means, see, if you're in a hospital and even you're going to die, they still try to treat you to help.
Yes.
Like that. But when you're on the battlefield, then that time spent there, they will die anyway. Someone else could be saved if you gave that attention to them. So that's the point, is those who are interested, the innocent, there you give your attention there. The ones that are atheistic and all that, then, you know, basically they're already dead. So, you know, you shouldn't waste your time like that. You know, someone has lots of doubts and he argues a lot, that's another thing, as long as they're interested to know. But those people who are actually atheistic in that, then why get involved? Right. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has confirmed that a Vaishnava should be indifferent to those who are envious of the Supreme Lord. So indifferent just means you don't need to deal with them. Doesn't mean you're nasty or things. The modern context, indifferent means you don't behave nicely. But here it means you follow etiquettes, it's just that you don't care to spend any time with them. Srila Jiva Goswami has pointed out that even though the Mahabhagavat devotee may act on the second-class platform for preaching, his rejection of the envious living entities does not obstruct his vision of the Lord as all-pervading. He knows the Lord's in their heart, it's just that they're not interested. Rather, when a first-class devotee or even a second-class devotee rejects the atheistic class of men, he's expressing the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, because it's just a matter, at this point in time, that soul is not interested or ready. So you don't need to spend the time. You have festivals, you have these things, and they see, they hear the kirtan, they'll get some benefit. But spending that direct time, then there's no advantage, because they won't be able to take advantage of that at this point. But give them some lifetimes, and that agyata sukriti builds up, their view on things change. And then they'll be right. In other words, who is innocent today, go back a few lifetimes, they were the atheists.
Yes.
Like that. Or the ones who are not interested, right? So like that. And disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they were like that before. But now with time, now they've come to the platform of being innocent. And so now you deal with them. So it's just a matter of, you look at the bigger picture, then you deal with what's happening now. Right? Does that make sense? Why would you, let's say, people have appointments for coming to do something. Why would you be dealing with someone whose appointment is after 2 years? You know, you deal with and neglecting those who have appointments now, right? People are sitting there waiting for their appointment now, but instead of seeing them, you're seeing people that their appointments are later. And they actually won't deal properly, so they won't take advantage of the appointment. So you're wasting your time, their time, and all the people there that could. Does that make sense? So it's a bigger picture of time. It's not that, oh no, but we have to help everybody. It means you do, but for those who are envious of the Supreme Lord, by leaving them alone, that's the best help you can give. A first-class or second-class Vaishnava never actually becomes envious of another living entity, but out of intense love for the Supreme Lord, he becomes angry when the Lord is offended. Also, understanding the Lord's mission, he discriminates according to the position of a particular living entity. To consider such a Vaishnava preacher an ordinary envious person, or to consider him sectarian because of his proclamation of pure devotional service as the most exalted of all methods of spiritual advancement, reflects a materialistic vision called Vaishnava Jati Buddhihi, or Gurushu Naramatihi. Either one. Choose as you like. Such an offense drags the offender down to a hellish condition of life by the laws of nature. That's that verse, Mahapashadi Govinde. It's mentioning this point. That if you think they're ordinary, because by modern context, you would say, oh, but this is sectarian, this is not nice, this is envious. But they themselves, whoever would proclaim this, they themselves will not deal with a wide range of people. They'll claim they will, but they don't. Mm-hmm. They won't. Because otherwise, if they would deal with a wide range of people, why are they saying these things about you? Why aren't they accommodating, trying to encourage? No, they're not. They're immediately attacking. Why? Because they're narrow-minded. Mm-hmm. And then they're claiming others are narrow-minded. We're just saying what the Shastra says, that pure devotional service is the topmost, the most exalted of all methods. And we're committed to that. Why we should be interested in something else. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, "The Madhyama devotee shows prema for the Lord, his object of worship. This actually means he has an attachment for the Lord rather than prema."
Means what?
He has an attachment, but he hasn't come to the platform of prema. He has friendship with the devotees, those who are dependent upon the Lord. He shows mercy to those who are ignorant of bhakti, since even Bharata, Vyasa, and Sukadeva did not show mercy to all persons they saw. It should be explained that this mercy to ignorance arises on its own. This is understood for the example of the mountain. During this season, the mountains sometimes released their pure water and sometimes did not. Just as experts in transcendental science sometimes give the nectar of transcendental knowledge and sometimes do not. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:20-36. So this must be the about autumn, the chapter on description of autumn. Yes.
Description of the rainy season.
Huh?
Description of the rainy season.
There's a chapter on the description of the rainy season? There is?
Yes.
Huh. Okay. This is the chapter of the rainy season.
It's the same thing.
Huh?
So the mercy of the ignorant arises on its own?
It means that ignorant is there, you see the opportunity, something's said, something's done, there's that, then you will say something. But other times you may not. You know, it's just like Prabhupada maybe like traveling, you know, going from one city to another. He's on the plane. There's so many people there. But we don't see he's like standing up and giving lectures and all that. So, you know, there may be nothing said to anybody, or maybe there's someone there and he'll talk and all that. Sometimes you see he'll be sitting in the airport and someone's sitting next to him, he'll talk. But other times he'll just sit there and just wait for the plane. So it's just a matter of the situation, and if there's an opportunity, you take it, and if not, you don't. So that's also you have to see is just what's there. But people who are saying, you know, envious of the Lord, then them you might, you know, get up and go somewhere else. Yes.
The chapter is the rainy season in autumn in Vrindavan.
Okay. And that's different from the description of autumn.
Apparently the same.
It's just another translation.
In Krishna book is description of autumn, in 10th canto is.
Oh, okay. In Krishna book is description of autumn. So it's simultaneously one and different. They avoid those who hate the Lord, since they know that the mercy will be useless. The proper conduct is to remain at a distance from those who show hatred to oneself, with the understanding that they are foolish, and at the same time meditating on their good fortune. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not that we're thinking about how bad they are in this, because then we'll develop those qualities by association. It's that persons who may show hatred in that, they will have some good quality. No one has only bad qualities, as that pastime with Yudhishthira Mars and Duryodhana showed. So they have some good. So you see the good quality. Then you're associating with the good qualities of that person. Though you don't actually spend any time with them. You know? Does that make sense? You know, unless it's something, it's that there's some obligation or formality of that.
Maharaj, it seems that at that level, Madhyam, discrimination is there, and also it is natural activity.
Yes. Because as you become purified, these are the natural activities that come up. But it has to be that you're agreeable to them, because being a voluntary process, then you need to actually accept it when the opportunity is there.
Yes.
That's why we hear about it, because these are the natural positions, but they're natural. You have to accept that natural position, because you could continue with the unnatural position.
Yes.
Right? It means, just like, let's say, you bump into somebody, or you see someone that, you know, you find is inimical. Right? So you're not necessarily going to go over there and slap them on the back and ask them how they are. Right? So you're going to But now you have a choice. Do you think about the good qualities they have, or do you think about the bad qualities and all the injustices and this and that, and this should be this and that, and why that? So it's that choice is yours. So if you choose to find the faults, then that will be cultivated, you know, and we're already quite practiced at that from being here from time immemorial. So then, you know, we'll cultivate and deal in that and feel quite satisfied with maybe new ways to look at how they're not a nice person.
Yes.
But you can also, because Shastra says you shouldn't do that, you know, you either, you know, you think of how you say, understand they're foolish, but at the same time, as you understand, there's some good qualities, and those, if you know, then this way, then you stop thinking about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you sit there and, you know, 24 hours think about them and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So that will then cultivate another aspect that will bring you forward in devotional service. The other one will reduce the service, because for thinking they're wrong, they did this and that. Yes, it may be true, but what does that have to do with devotional service? So if we're cultivating that, we're not cultivating devotional service, so we'll get distracted. While if we just see there's good qualities and then how those are engaged in the Lord's service, and then we go off like that thinking about Krishna and we're not thinking about them. Then you'll cultivate that side and develop that side. So that's the whole thing in sadhana. It's a practice, but it's a practice that you agree to. Because if we're talking about affection, it means it has to be natural. So you have to agree to it. So at all stages, one has that opportunity to agree to it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. The Madhyama devotee who does not have the qualification to see the Lord in all beings is characterized by these four qualities. Like, these are the qualities you'll see. It doesn't mean that they don't, on occasion, see that way. You know, see the Lord in all beings and all beings in the Lord. But it's not constant. So therefore, the qualities you'll see are these four.
Yes.
Right? But for the other, for the Uttama, then the qualities you'll see are that they see all living entities and Krishna, all and Krishna in all living entities.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, then they act in a different way. So naturally, they'll be have affection for the Lord. They'll be a sincere friend of the devotees. They'll be, you know, nice to the innocent, and they'll avoid the envious. But that's not the prominent quality. The prominent quality is that they always see everything connected to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And even sometimes we see that only Uttamas can do it, that there may be someone who is inimical, but because, or demoniac, but because of the nature that they are just seeing them as the soul and looking past their conditioning, then sometimes you might see that the Uttama can preach to that person and have it make a change of heart. But it's not a standard thing. Only they would be able to do that. So even if they're acting as Madhyamas, then they may be able to deal in situations that that Madhyamas couldn't. So therefore, Madhyamas don't do that. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mr. Maharaj, it is recommended to, if we know our level, to stay at that level.
Yes, we stay at that level because that level is what's there now. As we continue devotional service, that level will move forward. But we know we're trying to do that, but we don't necessarily we're trying to have that understanding, but it's not necessarily we can act in that way. Because as we said, you have the you hear about it, then you're going to just came across some really nice words, you know, for manana. Because we say contemplate, but contemplate doesn't infer that there is going to be application. But some other words do. I can't remember what they are. I just saw them today. And I was thinking, oh, good words, unfortunately. Yeah. So you're contemplating for practical application. That's what you're trying to do. So the Uttamas, they're seeing like that and applying like that. We may sometimes be able to see and get an understanding of that on some occasions or some applications, and that's always an advantage. It's always good. But we can't necessarily, we're not consistent in it that now we can contemplate it to and apply it.
Yes.
Because it's something that rarely comes up.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But for the Madhyama, these four positions is constant, so they can apply that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The neophyte will, see this, but they won't necessarily always be able to apply it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So. No? Yeah. So symptoms means you can see. That means it's being applied. Right? Does that make sense? Like, I can tell there's symptoms that, you know, how you say cooking's going on because you can see things in pots and there's bubbles coming and stuff like that. Because something's happening. That's how you see symptoms. Right? Okay. The Madhyama devotee who does not have the qualification to see the Lord in all beings is characterized by these four qualities. When he has seen to have that quality, then he should be considered an Uttama devotee. But even amongst Uttama devotees, like Narada, one will see these four qualities of the Madhyamas. Prema, attachment, friendship, mercy, and indifference also manifest. Just that now, that it's prema, I mean it's this attachment to the Lord, or that devotion to the Lord is on the platform of prema.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And to where the Madhyama, it'll be below prema. Does that make sense? So you'll see these symptoms because they're preaching. It's natural to help others, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. It's just the way it works. Sri Javier continued. A devotee who faithful, just like, Manu, someone, let's say you have family, someone offends a family member, then you're indifferent towards that person. Because that's the way you would support the family. The family would then say you take their side. But that's just the mundane social application of it. But it's actually original is that those who offend the Lord are devotees, you're indifferent to them, because that's the real family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we see that is where it comes up there in the Madhyama. But otherwise, the neophyte, then maybe they don't do that, but at least then they can do, because otherwise then, if we're, but they're not so bad. Yeah, that's that side of it. What about the foolish side?
Yes.
You know, about their bad behavior. That's also is there. You know that that's there. But the point is you see the good side. This person only sees the good side, is not willing to look at that. But then the same time is then when you're dealing with those who offend devotees or the Lord, then they'll also say, no, but they're not so bad. And so then how much will you be committed to just dealing with the Lord? How you'll be able to see innocent, right? How you make friends with the devotees, right? Why would the Lord be pleased with those persons and those are the ones you're saying aren't so bad? How is that going to work? Right? It's a personal process. Right? while the other is that they're saying all these things, not actually being personal, just being intellectual or being different. You know, if you say, you know, wow, it's really cold today, and they could go, yeah, it sure is, you know, like that, you know, like that. Or you can go, wow, it's really cold today. Yeah, well, it depends on how you look at it, you know. If we were up in the North Pole, then it wouldn't be considered, it would be considered a good day, you know. So we could also look at it as a great day today, and you're just thinking, why am I spending my time with this guy? You know, because you can't have a conversation. Because whatever you say, they will say the opposite. That's what jati means, what you say, people understand what you say. The wrong group is whatever you say, they take it in a different way. So that's how you decide who you spend time with. Does that make sense? It is easy. Right? Otherwise, if every word you say, then you tiptoe, have to too, because it's a minefield of political correctness, then you're in the wrong group. But if you're totally a politically correct person, then everything you say and the other guy, yeah, right, you know, and what about, you know, and then you can really get into non-politically correct people bashing. And then, you know, you have great camaraderie. So that's your group. That's your jati. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sri Javier continued, a devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple, but does not behave properly towards other devotees or people in general, is called a Prakrita Bhakta, a materialistic devotee, and is considered to be in the lowest position. Right? So we see here is that they have faith. They worship, faithfully engages in worship of the deity in the temple. But he doesn't behave properly towards other devotees or people in general. Maybe some friends or this or that or family. But the point is they don't know how to behave. So that's why then you're not seeing it about who's innocent and who's not. You know, who's a devotee. You know, the position of the Lord. So they accept the position of the Lord. So you see in all of them, the position of faith in the Lord is there. That's what makes them devotees. But with the neophyte, it's only the devotees. With the Madhyama, then it's the Lord and the devotees. And then you'll accommodate the innocent. With the Uttama, then they see everything connected to the Lord and everything in the Lord. And the Lord in everything. Right? Yes. So that's, we see it just expands that aspect. And so because of that, then the Uttama will always deal with all living entities perfectly. And then the Madhyama will, you know, do as best as they can, but the neophyte will basically go on whatever their values are. That's how they're going to deal with people. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The BBT purport notes. Srila Madhvacharya states, Archayam eva samstitam vishnum. Ah, what is that?
Nyatva. The N has become S.
But don't we generally put an N there with a squiggle?
Not that it happens sometimes.
Oh, I see. So, but I mean, in the transliteration, we generally put the N there. Yeah, okay, okay. But why do you say that?
Nyatva.
Nyatva. So you don't say the S?
No.
Wow.
Actually, it is supposed to be N, but the S has been printed with the
dot. Oh, so instead of an N, because I would think it was J with an N with a squiggly and an S with a dot, and I was just thinking, wow, I've never seen that before. You know, Nyatva. Yeah, okay. Okay, so it's just that it was a, okay. Yes. So Vishnum Nyatva Tad Anyatra Naiva Janati Yaf Puman. A Kanista Adhikari has no idea that the Supreme Lord has the power to exist outside a church or a temple. Right? He exists there. Yes. That's definite. Yes. But outside, then, hey, it's our world. Right? You know, they just don't see. So to that degree that is there, that's how you can tell the advancement, right? So even you're dealing in a broader sense, those who have faith in God and all that, but as you see is that they only have faith in God in the temple, and only in their temple or church. The one next door, then he can't be there, right? Because he's already your one. How can he be over there also, right? You know, it's like he can only be in one place at one time, right? Yeah. So then you see is that they're there, the God conscious, but it's very beginning, you know, stages of the neophyte. And then as you see is they can see Krishna outside of that to some degrees. It'll be specific places, but it'll be something more like the temple, more like, you know, you go to someone's house and they have an altar, then you can accept there, or, you know, you start to see little things here and there. Then it means that the advancement's going on. And that you see that other people, you start to deal with them more properly, advancement's going on. But otherwise, it's God's in your place of worship, and those people that happen to also be in your place of worship, then, you know, okay, they're okay. But if you're outside that, then you're not good. So it just means that the neophyte, they're more neophyte. Does that make sense? So you have neophyte, more neophyte, most neophyte. You know, just like, yeah.
But atheists are not atheists.
Sorry?
They are not atheists.
No. So that's why it's good. It's good, but then the problem comes is they get so absorbed in the externals of what they're doing that they can't actually deal beyond that. So that's why you always have to deal just on principle. You don't deal with details. Like when Prabhupada gave that lecture at that monastery in, I think it was in Melbourne, then he just spoke about developing love for God. And they really appreciated the discussion because he was just dealing on that primary level. He didn't get down into secondary level. Like that.
Maharaj, if it is like that, it means one of the first things we need to do in our movement is to understand and present the principle of Krishna consciousness.
Yes, yes.
At least everyone must know the principle.
Yes, but this is understood because, you see, we're having a beginning conversation in Krishna consciousness. So after pointing out that developing pure devotion for the Lord, coming to the platform, and continuing that up to prema, that's actually the purpose of the whole process. Now, who follows that? Devotees. Now, of devotees, then we see there's the Uttama. Then from the Uttama, then there's the Madhyama, from Madhyama is the Neophyte. So you see, when you put it in this order, it becomes very easy to understand.
Yes.
When you start the other way, then you get confused.
Yes.
Like that. So you have the standard, and then from that you understand what to do, and then you try to advance and develop.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be, that's why the discussions are about devotional service and how to develop.
Yes.
That's there. If that's appreciated, then people will start to contemplate that. Manana will go on.
Yes.
And then from that practice, then you'll get realization.
Mm-hmm.
Is that...
Yes.
Yeah. So whatever is the highest standard should be our goal.
Yes, yes. Because that means prema is the natural position.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what is there. We only have the neophyte and madhyama because we're conditioned.
Yes.
If you're liberated, then you only have the Uttama platform. But then you have the beginning stages, the middle, and the end of that. So you could say on Uttama, then you would have from Shravana Dasa up to Smarana Dasa. That would be your, you know, up to Samar, that would be your first beginning stage. Right? And then from when you come to that point of Samadhi in Smarana Dasa, you know, then you're going to say that then from there up to then Apan Das, then that will be the Madhyama level. Right? But then when they come to Prema, that's the Uttama level. Right? And then even within Prema, you can say that there's different levels depending upon the Rasa, but that's not so important. That's a matter of taste. Okay. So Kanishtha Adhikari has no idea that the Supreme Lord has the power to exist outside a church or temple, because it's all about them. They think of God, He's there. They don't think, then it doesn't matter. Like that. He's in our church. He can't be anywhere else. And the point is, it'll be the church or temple that you go to. Like if you're going to this one, now He's in this one. But when you decide, oh, this one's not good, and you go to another one, now He's in that one. So you're limiting the Lord, though you have faith in the Lord. Right? Furthermore, being puffed up by his own ceremonial worship, Atmano Bhakti Darpataha, a Kanishtha Adhikari cannot imagine that anyone is more pious or religious than he. And he is not even aware that other devotees are more advanced. Yeah, other more advanced. Right, so these are, so we're talking about this is where it starts from. You know, and then from there, so that, what does that mean? How does advancement? He starts to notice that there's devotees that are more advanced. He starts to understand that others are pious also, or even more than him. He starts to understand that his own tech, what he's doing in the worship is serving lords, and others, they're doing their aspect. You know what I'm saying? So that would be the thing, is you come up with this. And you'll see this as a regular thing. Why do you have that those who live in the temple are better than the community? Because of this point. Right? Why is it Sankirtan devotees are better than all other devotees? And, you know, always are and always will be. Because of this point. You know? It's special, no doubt. But it's the service is special, not us. Right? So you'll have like that, or, you know, take whatever it is in the spiritual process, you're doing it, you've done it, then you're better than everybody else, and you can't imagine that they've done that, so then set. Yeah. Thus you cannot understand the Madhyamar Uttama standard of devotional service, right? So how can you be friends with them? They did this, they did that. You know, how can they even be devotees? So these are all neophyte positions. We see Javier is pointing them out very nicely. So they've been pointed out a lot before, but it may not be as clear. But now, having gone through all these different aspects in the Bhagavatam, then now we're able to appreciate. Does that make sense? And so now it starts to be more, because we've been refining down as pure devotional service, separating it off from all other considerations. So now it becomes easier to understand. Because that's all it is they're not seeing things in connection with Krishna. They're just seeing Krishna in connection with them. And so what they're doing, then that's Krishna consciousness. What they're not doing is not. But with time, they start to see that it's a broader range of things. Krishna is, you know, all things. He is everywhere. He is, there are devotees, there are more advanced, and then you see the whole world of Vaishnavas and devotional service. So then one advances. Right? Thus he cannot understand the Madhyama Uttama standard of devotional service. And sometimes, because of his false pride, he criticizes the more advanced devotees of the Lord, neglects them, or simply has no understanding of their exalted position as preachers or completely self-realized souls. Right? So, within the movement, we'll have less of this, but we're taking the wider range of those who have faith in the Shastras, or those who then worship Vishnu. And so, how much is there? You know, you have all the things of, you know, if you're not born in India, then how can you do all these things? Or unless you're, or even amongst themselves, someone is worshipping in this line, they can't appreciate the other line. Right?
Yes.
You know, we saw that, yeah. So you get that kind of stuff.
Maharaj, But it still seems that in India it is less intense than compared to the Western world.
Yes, because there's more knowledge. There's a common point. It's about the scriptures. So they're all studying Bhagavad Gita. And so then the common point, they're all there. There may be some hermeneutics on how they're going to, the ultimate goal they're going to go there. But as far as culture goes, there's one culture in India. Like that. As far as the culture goes, there's details. But the point is you go to any house in India from a cultured family, your reception and the mood will be the same in the way of how they deal as a host. Details of how they're sitting you, what they're feeding you with, or things like that, that's going to be different. But that's regional. Does that make sense? So it's not that, that's not the point. But it's the culture, there's one culture, the Vedic culture, the Brahminical culture. Then within that you have your positions, your stations, and all those things. And then accordingly then you're going to behave. But there's one. But when you go outside of the Vedic, then there's no, what's the common standard to pull it all together? Right? Because if they say, well, you know, you go to, you know, you say the Bible, but then, okay, then they should be looking more like those, you know, Orthodox Jews, if they're going by the Bible. But they're not. In fact, they don't seem to like Jews. So, I mean, so how does this work? So, there's not a common religious thing, and they don't accept it. So, they accept the philosophy that's there, but they have created their own religion. It means religion means how you act, how you do, and all these. What are the laws governing what you do? Right? Like Manu, that's religion. It means what human life, what you're supposed to do. So if you're a good Christian, there's rules that they have. And only they have it at their church. You know, the next door neighbor, there's another. I can't remember where we were. We were driving down the road. You know, it's quite, you know, for some distance, we were driving for a long time. The amount of churches, and you know, each one is there, and they all have their signboard outside, and the names, they're all just totally different churches and everything like that, but they're all Christians. And probably none of them like each other. And there's probably some they'll tolerate, so that if you want to gang up on one group, then you'll side with them others, but once you've done that, you know what I'm saying? So they just create their own religion. But their philosophy, then they'll say, is that of Jesus. But they don't follow the religion Jesus follows. Right? So the point is this. So we have to be careful of this. Otherwise you might accept the Vaishnav philosophy, but not the Vaishnav religion. And so if it's whatever you feel like and just be a nice guy, be a good guy and all that, then that's Protestant. You know? And so then, you know, but you know, at least you have the right philosophy. Does that make sense? Yeah. So one has to be very, very careful. But this is the disease of the neophyte. And it's not just, you know, the followers of the Vedas neophyte. It means those who are God conscious, they have this problem. And even if you reflect it into just the materialistic, someone who's new at it, then they, you know, it's just like, let's say the guy is into skiing, right? He's an enthusiast for skiing. He's got the money, he's got the contacts, so he gets all the stuff and he figures out what's the best, ski resort at what time of the year. He shows up there with all his gear. Now, in his mind, that's the only resort worth being at. But now the guys that are really good at it, they're there because it's good for these 2 weeks. And then after that, they'll go to a different one. He only thinks it's only this one. Right? And then it's that, okay, the skis he's got, these are the real ones. Anything else is crap. And the poles he's got and the outfit he's got and this and that. And everybody knows that he's a neophyte. You know, so generally everybody will stay away. So when he comes down and sits down next to you, you know, you are pleasant, and then you go somewhere else. So it's a problem. It's just the neophyte problem, is that they can only see themselves, and so it's themselves, and then they've accepted God. But the Madhyama is there's God, and then you're a connection with Him. So as the neophyte starts to develop this, they start to give up those qualities and take on the nature of the Madhyama. But as they continue, and as we see, is that we've gotten this, we've heard about this, the Lord and His pastimes and the devotees. So then, appreciating that, now this knowledge given in the 11th canto, now it has more meaning for practice in manana. Otherwise, it was one of those parts of those esoteric parts of the Bhagavatam that, you know, like, who understands that stuff? Right? You know, he mentioned that. Because whatever they're doing, that's the best. He's not even aware other devotees are more advanced, cannot understand the Madhyama Uttama, because the false pride he criticizes. Oh, they're just gyanis. You know, why don't they do something practical? You know.
It's boring.
Huh? It's boring. Yeah, yeah.
Because I cannot understand.
Yeah, it's boring. Yeah, it's just boring. Another symptom of the Kanista Adhikar. So that was one symptom. You know. Now there's this faith in God, like it says. Faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple. Because they don't see. But does not behave properly towards other devotees or people in general. So it means that outside of that, no. So that even means the devotees in the temple. Right? Like that. Another symptom of the Kanishtha Adhikari is that he's infatuated by the material qualifications of the so-called great materialistic persons. Right? So that's very important. So they've said this, they do this, oh, we do this, then we'll fit in, people will accept us, then... No, they won't. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Usually when Maharaj, we try to make the materialistic people as our gurus, in the management gurus. And
yes. Yes, yes. So that's the point. It's one thing you can learn from them, but you also have to understand is there's a limit to what they know and what they can do. Mm-hmm. So there's the point is not that some great materialistic person is not good in a particular area, because knowledge and skills and qualities are engaged in devotional service. But until it's engaged in devotional service, it's actually a waste of time. So this great materialistic person is going to get no benefit from that. This life, by their karma, they're able to do all these things and be great and materialistic, right? And be recognized as such. But who knows next life what they'll be? Or even later in this life, right? So they just, you know, they just kind of disappear. You know, whatever happened to that guy? So, yeah. So one always has to see is that they may have, you look at that, you can engage in Krishna service, but it's not because they've said they've worked it out, it's because it's useful in service. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, we appreciate that they've gone through all that work, but the point is that they've simply observed the nature and seen that. But the point is who made the laws of nature that they're observing? Krishna. So it's not that they've come up with something different. All it is that what the Shastra says and what this person's saying, you're not seeing the connection. So you think, oh, Scripture doesn't say, or the devotees don't know this, but this guy does, you know? That makes sense, yeah. Having a bodily concept of life himself, he is attracted by material opulence and thus minimizes the position of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. Because these people have opulence, and you know, it's like what we were saying before, that worshippers of Lord Shiva, the materialists, then they have all kinds of facilities, even though he's not very opulent. And the worshippers of Vishnu, who has all opulence, aren't seen to be very opulent. So then you're not even so much focused on that. When you're in the temple, yes, but then you're hoping for these opulences, but you'll respect and revere those who have it, and then you'll deal with them nicely and all those kind of things. Yeah. Such a Kanishtha Adhikari, therefore, is disturbed if a second-class devotee criticizes the non-devotees of the Lord. In the name of compassion or kindness, a Kanishtha Adhikari approves of the non-devotional activities of such materialistic men. Because the Kanishtha Adhikari is ignorant of the higher realms of devotional service and the unlimited transcendental bliss of Krishna consciousness, he sees devotional service merely as the religious aspect of life, but thinks that life has many enjoyable and worthwhile non-devotional aspects. This is the perfection of eternal truth. Is that even though this Madhvacharya is, 700 years ago? It still is like hitting the nail on the head. Yes, perfectly. It applies so perfectly. So as you see devotees become distracted by these great materialistic persons, the name of compassion or kindness, they approve of non-devotional activities, like that. So it's just neophyte stuff. And because they can't see beyond the Madhyam and Uttama, they think that whatever they're doing is all in all. They can't see what's higher. That's why we have to hear from authority. So all this modern kind of stuff and trying to introduce things that are based on so-called compassion and kindness that we're getting from these, it's based on the neophyte mentality. So that's the problem, because there's not faith in the tradition. You have faith in God, but not in the tradition, because that's the religious process. That's what's not seen. And what parts you do accept, then that's all in all, and what anybody else is doing, it's not. Is that? So that's the thing. Yes?
Can we say that they're mixing between pure bhakti and mishra bhakti?
No, it's, I would just say it's mishra bhakti. Because means pure bhakti means when you it means pure bhakti means there's no materialism. Materialism means there's no bhakti. But if you have both at once, we call it Mr. Bhakti. Because when you do bhakti, it has that element of purity. But then there may be some other intent or some other misunderstandings of motives. That's the mix. You know, it's like milk and ink. You put the ink in the milk, but it's pure milk. Like that. Unless you get it from one of the local doshas and all that. It's pure milk and Ganges water. And Ganges water is very pure. So therefore we can say it's pure milk. It means there's milk and there's pure. The pure part is the Ganga.
It's double pure.
Yeah, so it's double pure. It's even better. In fact, you should pay more, right? This milk is better. Why are you charging more? Because mine's double pure. Like that.
They won't get into it.
They can't tell the difference between what's Mishra and pure.
Yeah.
That's it. Is that what you were saying?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Yes. They can't tell the difference. That's why they can't see what's a Madhyama and an Uttama. Because the Madhyama is situated in pure devotional service. But they're the beginning stages of advanced devotion. So they won't be as advanced as an Uttama on the platform of Baba, who won't be as advanced as an Uttama on Prema.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So they can't see any of this. Like that. You know what I'm saying? The stories are there, Krishna book is there, so you hear all about Krishna, and that's the attractive feature.
Mm-hmm.
But appreciating what the devotees are doing, the moods, the sentiments, that won't be there so much. They may catch some external things that they can relate to, and then they'll try to apply those in their life. And which is good. They picked it up from the devotees. So that's the point, is even it has these defects are only being pointed out so that one can understand what's pure devotional service and endeavor for that.
Yes.
You know, and try to avoid these problems. They'll come up, but we try to avoid them.
But now, this can be done only with association with more advanced.
Yes. Otherwise, then you'll think the position you're in is fabulous. You know, it's like the guys down at the pub. Right? You go there, it's the same guys every day, and that, and whatever opinion you have about world politics and economics and sports, that is the absolute truth. Because you don't have anybody else to talk to. Right? Now, if someone else came along that knew more, then they would point something out, you know, and then, you know. It might go down well or not, depending upon how much you've drunk. You know?
But generally, Maharaj, somebody like Kanista Ligai does not want to associate with advanced.
Means the more innocent aspect, they might, but they can't discriminate in any case.
Yes.
So they can't tell who's advanced, who's not, who's... like I remember somebody came along to our temple... devotee, they were traveling through, going somewhere, I can't remember, they were driving through. And they stopped there for a couple of days and then moved on. The devotee was, practiced a bit in playing harmonium.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure, it would have been too early, I doubt that they would have been to India, but I'm not sure where they got it. But in those days, even nowadays, sometimes they hear it, there's this style of kirtan, maybe you'll hear it less now, style of kirtan that is what some Western devotees will do, that they say it's Bengali because of a particular tone, the way they use their voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it there's a lot of ego in it. You know the one I'm talking about? Yeah. And so he was very good at that. And we were all brand new devotees, so he's got more skill than us, and he's good. We thought it was very, very nice. And then at some point, I think the temple president kind of pulled us over and said, you know, don't get too distracted by all this. You know, and then they went on, and then like that. But you can't tell the difference. You can't know it, because you think if there's external material skill, then that means there's more advancement, because that's the way the materialism works. Rather than it's devotion to Krishna, the Vaishnavas, the devotional process, you know, giving up material attachment, these are the advancement. You don't know that, because you come Krishna consciousness, you just see the religious aspect, and that's all. You don't actually understand the principle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, yeah. Right. Yeah, so he may be, therefore, such a Kanishtarka, therefore, is disturbed. The second class devotee criticizes the non-devotees, especially if they're the great materialistic person, or so-called. But they themselves may criticize devotees.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Because the Kanishtadhikari is ignorant of the higher realms of devotional service and the unlimited transcendental bliss of Krishna consciousness, he sees devotional service merely as the religious aspect of life, but thinks that life has many enjoyable and worthwhile non-devotional aspects. You know, the best of both worlds.
Yes.
You know, it's like, one devotee gave an example of lying on the beach at the French Riviera, you know, with a pina colada in one hand, and you were chanting your japa, you know, like that, and got your sunglasses on, you know, the whole thing, on those kind of bench things, and like that. It's the best of both worlds, right? You know, so, yeah, it's a problem.
The beach are big.
Huh?
Many devotees are going
there. Yeah. Because there's many enjoyable and worthwhile non-devotional aspects.
It's not the problem with the japa, pina colada.
Huh?
Which one is the problem? The japa or the pina colada?
Neither of those. It's being on the beach and saying that that's right. Because
yeah.
The problem is if you say there's many and worthwhile non-devotional, the best of both worlds, that means that the spiritual world has parts that are good and not so good, which it doesn't have. They're all good. And then the material world, then you're saying the best of that, that there is no best. So you can't actually have it. You know, it doesn't exist. So it's a neophyte concept, you know, that we'll endeavor. Yeah. So even that's why the neophyte takes these things and connects it to the Lord. Right? You know, it's just like, I think it was the devotees, I forget what was the situation, but they were in San Francisco or something. You know that time when Prabhupada stayed in the house on the beach? He was doing some work and all that, and he stayed there for, I'm not sure, some weeks or a month with some devotees, and some were cooks and servants and all that, and he was doing the work. But then the devotees would come and visit. I think they would come down, and then he'd probably give a class, and they'd go back to the temple. And then at one point, they all wanted to go down to the beach and have a bonfire. Because that's something that, you know, you go to the beach, you have a bonfire, right? You know, that's what you're supposed to do. And then most likely they put potatoes in the fire. Also, if you have a bonfire, you got to have potatoes, you know, like that. So it just goes on. So they're engaging. So they brought Prabhupada, they did kirtan, they did all these different things. So they're taking those attachments and connecting it to Krishna. It gets purified. Right? So that's the whole process. So it's not that you can't still within this use, but what they're pointing out here, the Acharya is pointing out, what the weaknesses are, that if you're not careful of that, then it will be a stumbling block to advance. So the point is, you connect that, you know, okay, what you're doing, then go for it. Get into it. Do it nicely for Krishna. Then as you get purified, you'll start to appreciate other service. Because whatever service you're doing, it's dependent upon others doing other aspects so that you can do your service. Right? Like that. Like, you can't be the big pujari making the big offering unless somebody cooked the offering. And you can't cook the offering unless the devotee went to the market to buy the offering. Right? And you can't buy the offering unless someone else somehow or another raised the money. You know? And then, you know, like that. So all these things are there. You know, and you won't have the money unless somebody went to the treasurer and somehow or another pleased him and you got the money. Right? You know, so like that, then you start to see that it's a team effort, then everything together. And so you're dealing in this, but then others, you know, are doing also their aspect. And what's the point of having the big program and big feast if no one comes? So then the preachers. But then the preachers, unless there's a temple with all those people doing all those second-class services like pujari and cooking and cleaning and all that, then if you brought all those high-class people that you're so impressed with to the back of your van, there's a good chance they would never come back again. Like that. No? Yeah. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the position of the Uttamadhikari, a first-class devotee of the Lord, is so worshipable that additional symptoms are now given in 8 verses. 48 to 55. So he's explained the three. Now the Uttama, he'll explain more, because there's just so much more. That's just in a nutshell, so you can make the comparison. Is how much faith is that? How much you're seeing the Lord? One is very localized, how you're seeing the Lord. The other one then is much more broad, and the other one is that's all you see is the Lord. Sri Javier continued, even while engaging his senses in contact with their objects, one who sees this whole world as the energy of Lord Vishnu is neither repelled nor elated. He is indeed the greatest among devotees. So, yeah. Bibhuti Purport states, it should be understood that unless one comes in contact with the lotus feet of a pure devotee of the Lord, the path of freedom from material illusion is very difficult to understand. In the fifth verse of the Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has stated, Shushu Shaya Bhajana Vish. Vigyam. Yeah, it's just like. It's like the, you know, how you say, the monkey seeing the frog in the chapati. So it's like, what's that? Ananyam anya nindati shunya hridam ipsita sangha labdhya. One should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Because it's not a matter of that. What's the problem? Right? You know, even we say, we go to the previous one, the atheist, what's the problem? The problem is the soul is not appreciating their relationship with God. That's the problem. Right? So you're still seeing the souls as one category. It's just within that one category, some are inclined towards the Lord and some aren't. Yes. Which? Sri Javier. Javier. He's Javier is one of the Navayogendras. So his brother Kavi answered the first question. Now Javier answers the second. Then they'll go on Antariksha, Ahibud. They'll all of them will answer. Srila Prabhupada comments, right? So they're not criticizing the person, they're criticizing that position of not being inclined towards devotional. But otherwise, the soul is still. If the soul, you see that those good qualities, but they're foolish because they've turned their back to the Lord. You understand? So it's just dealing with the facts. Criticism, you're finding fault. But here, it's not a matter of finding fault, it's in connection with Krishna. So it's different.
Yes.
Right? Srila Prabhupada comments. In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami advises the devotee to be intelligent enough to distinguish between the Kanista Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttam Adhikari. A neophyte Vaishnav, or a Vaishnav situated on the intermediate platform, can accept disciples, but such disciples must be on the same platform. And it should be understood that they cannot advance very well towards the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. Therefore, a disciple should be careful to accept an Uttamadhikari as the spiritual master. So it's not that they can't do, it's just it won't be as efficient. So one should know, once taking that position, the etiquette's the same. Right? How you deal with this, if they're a neophyte or they're Uttama, the etiquette in dealing with the spiritual master doesn't change. But it's just, it'll be slower to advance. Right? That's all. As they advance, then you can advance. Does that make sense? So that's why we have the system, especially in Kali Yuga, is there's a founder Acharya. So then everybody is following the instructions of the founder Acharya. So the guru is giving relevant instructions. So even if they're a neophyte, they're giving relevant instructions on an Uttama's instructions. So they'll still have effect.
Yes.
They won't be able to necessarily make it as clear, maybe give as, you know, nice as explanations, or make it as practical. But the point is it's still there. You've heard from what Prabhupada said. That's why we read Prabhupada's books, we hear, and what we're discussing is his instructions.
Yes.
So that way, the Parampara system will work. That's it. It works. Well, in other ages, when you don't have the founder, then you have to be very careful to choose someone who's an Uttamadhikari, otherwise your advancement will be slow. But that you've chosen, you've surrendered, it is in Parampara, that benefit will be there. And as you become more serious, then Krishna will arrange something. Right? So that makes sense. You know, it means in the way of siksha and other things like that. So, yeah.
It is, I think it is in Upadeshamrita.
This is Upadeshamrita.
But it is, Srila Prabhupada said in the introduction that it is the book for the neophyte.
Yes.
Upadeshamrita.
It's like giving the essence of the nectar devotion in a very concise form.
Yes. And this point I already mentioned, Kanishtha Madhyamadika.
Yes. Yeah. You point it out, because if you don't point it out, it'll never be understood.
Yes.
So you point it out, and then you start to look for those symptoms. And only through that, then you can see. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's something beyond. So then, right? So that's why it's not it means someone's there, they're qualified, they're, you know, situated in devotional service, devotees are happy with them, other devotees are, you know, inspired by them. So, taking up the duties of a spiritual master, they can do that.
Yes.
It'll work in the context of the mission.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point. That's there.
Yes.
But at the same time, as you still should be able to discriminate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sri Javier continued. Within the material world, one's material body is always subject to birth and decay. Similarly, the life air, prana, is harassed by hunger and thirst. The mind is always anxious. The intelligence hankers for that which cannot be obtained. Right? You know, so it's because if it can be obtained, why think about it, right? You know.
Yes.
And all of the senses are ultimately exhausted by constant struggle in the material nature. A person who is not bewildered by the inevitable miseries of material existence and who remains aloof from them simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be considered Bhagavat Pradhana, the foremost devotee of the Lord. Right? So these things are there. But for we see is for this Uttamadhikari, they are not bothered by these things. And why? Because they're remembering the Lord. It's not that they grit their teeth, you know, they're better at gritting their teeth than anybody else. Like that, or their upper lip is more stiff than anyone else's. You know, it's a matter of they are always absorbed in the Lord, therefore they're not disturbed by these things. Not that these elements aren't there, they're just not disturbed. But it's not that they don't get hungry or thirsty. That happens. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, one who is not bewildered by the qualities of samsara, such as birth in different bodies, is the best of devotees. He is not bewildered by birth and death concerning the body, by hunger and thirst concerning the pranas, by fear in the mind, by longing in the intelligence, and by fatigue of the senses. But it doesn't bother. They just go on nicely just remembering Krishna, because that's actually the position. You always remember Krishna, and you're always situated in a happy situation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Or let's say blissful situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if we don't remember, then we can be disturbed by these. So that's the point. The Uttama always sees everything in relationship to the Lord. The BBT purport states, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the example that just as a child's ball may be fastened to the end of a rope so it cannot bounce away, a devotee who surrenders to Krishna becomes tied to the rope of Vedic injunctions and is never lost in worldly affairs. And so they'll see everything in connection to Krishna. So then they don't get distracted. Right? So Vedic injunctions means that which is given to us by our acharyas. Sri Javier continued. One who has taken exclusive shelter of the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva, becomes free from fruitive activities, which are based on material lust. In fact, one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord is freed from even the desire to enjoy material sense gratification. Because lust means you want to deal with the mechanics for producing an experience in the senses that's separate from Krishna. Mm-hmm. That's sense gratification, mm-hmm. right? And what's the purpose? You want to enjoy that. That's the lust. Yes. So when it's about Krishna, you want to simply engage the senses and the environments that are there in Krishna's service. So there's no desire to enjoy material sense gratification. Mm-hmm. Opportunity is there, but it's not interesting. If it's something you can engage in Krishna's service, yes. But if it's not, then there's no interest. So, plans for enjoying sex life, social prestige, and money cannot develop within his mind. Doesn't mean that the mind, it doesn't pop up, but it doesn't develop.
Yes.
Right? Who's it? Kulashekar?
Yamunacharya.
Okay. What does Kulashekar say? Oh, yes. Okay. That's what he's famous for. Okay. Yamunacharya. Okay. One day we'll get it. Right? Thus he is considered Bhagavotama, a pure devotee of the Lord on the highest platform. Right? Because the mind's business is just brings up things that it thinks will make you happy. So anything you've ever done, it will just bring up. And then when you stop being interested, it stops bringing it up.
Yes.
That's just how it works. It moves on to something that you do. Right? In other words, it's the original, algorithm for what it is that comes up for you to think about. Does that make sense? Right, yeah. So it's like, 150 trillion year old algorithm. Yeah, so then the modes of nature just bring all these things up through the mind, one isn't interested. So then it gets smaller and smaller, that. Because then it comes to the point where you can tell immediately that it's Maya.
Yes.
Prabhupada gives the example of the samurai. Right? Is that they sleep and they're so aware of what's around them that they can hear the sound of someone's sword, going through the air. Hearing that, they move. Like that. So he said, like that, you have to be aware that Maya's coming and then move. So that's the point. They can get to that point, and it doesn't matter. It's not entertained. So it's not that it doesn't come up, because sometimes it says, "Oh, you thought of that, then you're not a devotee, you're not advanced." No, it's what you do with it. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. That.
So we need training.
Yes.
It's not automatic.
Yes. It's not, so that's why we're studying this. So this is one of the aspects of training.
Yes.
Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, impressions do not arise in his mind. Furthermore, desires for women, etc., and actions by the senses do not arise. These three do not occur in his mind. Right? So either they won't be there, or one gets to the point where there's only about impressions about Krishna, so these don't even come up. Because Krishna himself, he'll take care of these things. But the point is even if it did, as Yamunacharya says, then there's no interest. Right? The three verses starting from verse 48 answer the question about the conduct of the devotee. He is free from hatred, joy, illusion, and lust in his actions. The rest of the chapter mentions more qualities of the devotee. So he asks about how does this devotee act. So then he's describing the Uttamadhikari, because that is, you could say, the devotee. Right? So then here, the acharyas very kindly are pointing out that this is how they behave. Because they do like that, then that limit, what did they do? If you're not interested in sense gratification, then what do? Right? So you're going to do something, so you're always going to be engaged in Krishna's service. Sri Javier. Yeah, impressions do not arise in the mind, because they're from the past, they start to come, then they're just rejected. So they can't come up and take place, take, you know, become the prominent point, and then the intelligence starts to analyze what you can do with it. Right? So even if it starts, it's not taken care of, it just moves on. Sri Javier continued. Birth in an aristocratic family and the execution of austere and pious activities certainly cause one to take pride in himself. Similarly, if one enjoys a prestigious position within society, because his parents are highly respected members of the Varnashram social system, one becomes even more infatuated with himself. But if, in spite of these excellent material qualifications, one does not feel even a tinge of pride within himself, he is to be considered the dearmost servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? In other words, if you're not, then these naturally come up. So that's why, because we're asking, you know, before there was that discussion on why don't the devotees have material facility necessarily. And there's pointed out that Krishna will only arrange if it won't disturb the devotional service of the devotee. So it appears here that only the Uttama can deal with very prestigious or powerful, all these things. Others will be distracted. So in that consideration, the Lord doesn't arrange it. Right? Does that make sense? But we see someone like Bali Maharaj, because he had fully surrendered to the Lord, then he was given all facilities, more than Indra. And Sudama Vipra, because of his surrender to the Lord and always being absorbed, then he also had all facility, more than Indra. And Indra, because he's a neophyte devotee, he only gets how much Indra's supposed to get. Okay? But these others can get even more than that and not be disturbed. Right? When a devotee gives up the selfish conception by which one thinks, this is my property, and that is his, and when he no longer is concerned with the pleasures of his own material body, or indifferent to the discomforts of others, he becomes fully peaceful and satisfied. He considers himself simply one among all the living beings who are equally part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a satisfied Vaishnava is considered to be at the highest standard of devotional service. Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, an outcast. Because they all understand that they are servants of the Lord. And that if you have to interact, you'll interact with each of them as according to what they are. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like the cow, then, you know, you may pat them on, you know, like that. When you know, the Brahmin, you may not do that. You know? Does that make sense? You know, and especially don't try that with the dog. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse. A Krishna-conscious person does not make any distinction between species or castes. It means one's better or less. It's just a matter of Krishna consciousness. That's the only thing. And engagement in Krishna's service. The Brahmin and the outcast may be different by the social point of view, or a dog, a cow, and an elephant may be different from the point of view of species, but these differences of body are meaningless from the viewpoint of a learned transcendentalist. This is due to their relationship to the Supreme. for the Supreme Lord by his plenary portion as Paramatma is present in everyone's heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is real knowledge. As far as the bodies are concerned, in different castes or different species of life, the Lord is equally kind to everyone because he treats every living entity as a friend, yet maintains himself as Paramatma, regardless of the circumstances of the living entities. So it's not as he's only Paramatma in certain forms of life, and when you end up as a worm in stool, then he's not going to come as Paramatma. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So he's always there. So we've heard this. It's just as saying that he's no longer, we're not connecting these. So because of that, he's no longer worried about the pleasures of the body. Because then you have to identify the body in that particular species that's for that particular enjoyment to then be able to appreciate that you could gain that particular enjoyment. But because he sees that all living entities are the soul, part and parcel of Krishna, to engage in the service, they likewise are also that, and so therefore they only engage in Krishna's service. Right? It's just giving different angles of understanding the same point. Does that make sense? So sometimes, there's so many other details. Probably gives this simple, because this is what Prabhupada's given is the principal point. That's what makes it work. Then from that, you see all these other aspects come up. Because we have to remember is that first point that was pointed out about the Uttamadhikari, that they see all living entities in Krishna and Krishna and everything. That is the point by which all these other ones work. Yes. You have that, these work. You don't have that, these, you can't cultivate these separately. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense?
Maharaj, in that presentation, there is not I and mine. Does not exist.
No, that's the thing. But it doesn't mean that you don't know what you have been given as a quota you work with. Yes. But you still see it. It's not yours, it's Krishna's. So this is, Krishna's given this for you to work with, and you work with it. And then when it goes away or breaks or this, then it's gone. And then some other aspect will be this. So you're not attached. It's just a matter of this works very nicely, so you engage it. So someone says, oh, why don't you use this? No, this works better. Oh, don't be attached. But it's just for use in Krishna's service. So you're not actually attached. You know? Is that something? But if it's falling apart and you're still, you know, like that old pair of pants or t-shirt, you just don't want to give that up. That's attachment. Oh, but it's so comfortable. Yeah, that, you know, it's got huge holes in it. So, yeah. Sri Javier continued. The lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are sought even by the greatest of demigods, such as Brahma and Shiva, who have all accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their life and soul. A pure devotee of the Lord can never forget those lotus feet in any circumstance. He will not give up his shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord for a single moment. Indeed, not for half a moment. Right? So we can't perceive generally, you know, he's... A moment is what we can perceive. So half a moment is less than what we can perceive. So not even that much he'll give it up. Even in exchange for the benediction of ruling and enjoying the opulence of the entire universe, such a devotee of the Lord is to be considered the best of Vaishnavas. BBT Purport states, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, one may ask, if one were able to gain the opulence of the entire universe in exchange for leaving the Lord's lotus feet for just half a moment, what would be the harm in leaving the Lord's lotus feet for such an insignificant amount of time? Right? The answer is given by the word akunta smriti. It is simply impossible for a pure devotee to forget the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, since everything that exists is in fact an expansion of the Supreme Lord. So gaining of the universe that we see, that's if it's for sense gratification because we're seeing his opulence, that's separate from the Lord. Why would that be of value? Right? Okay. And if you say, no, but you could use it all for the Lord, they already see it like that way anyway. Since nothing is separated from the Supreme Lord, a pure devotee of the Lord cannot think of anything but the Lord, nor can a pure devotee contemplate ruling or enjoying universal opulence. Even if given all the opulence of the universe, he would immediately offer it the lotus feet of the Lord and return to his position of a humble servant of the Lord. So, it's just, why would they give it up? Whatever their position, they'll use for Krishna.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Veta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.